Hello and welcome to another episode of The Undetected Narcissist. So today I'm talking about, are all narcissistic people evil? And I gotta tell you, I had no idea that this was such a hot topic, because when I did the headliner analyzing, it got 80%. I mean, I've never had one analyze that high. So I guess this is a really hot topic people, you know, are searching for and want to hear about. So I'm just going to dive in, and like everything, there's always a blog post attached to it. So if you like this information and you want to share it with someone else, you can. You know, it's all just free good stuff. So let's just dive in. So are you feeling confused about your narcissistic partner or boss? And do you believe or wonder, are all narcissistic people evil? So in this podcast, I want to address this question. And for some people, the answer will be an automatic yes. And for others, they might be on the fence. Yes, on the fence. And you might be wondering why someone is on the fence if you've experienced something horrific with a narcissistic person or parent. And I know exactly what you mean, because I was on that fence as well. And I'm kind of still on that fence. And I have to say, it all depends on the individual, really. So not everyone will have, let's say, the same heartache as you might have experienced, or even me. And my perspective, you know, in this podcast might be different than yours, and that's okay. This is just information, so let's unpack it. So you have heard me talk about polarity. There is polarity when it comes to narcissism. There is a light and a dark side. Some narcissistic people make good leaders, and others can scare the crap out of you when they're in a position of power, such as running the country, is what we see right now, or someone that was running the country. It's pretty scary. And some narcissistic leaders can be suited to act as a support for others. They can give a fresh stimulus to cultural development, and they can assess the damage in the established state of the affairs. So all of these are excellent traits. There is also the fact that many of us have benefited and are enjoying the various inventions these narcissistic individuals have created. So for example, without Bill Gates, there would be no Microsoft software. Steve Jobs started Apple. So if you love your Apple phone, your Apple tablet or laptop, whatever, hey, that's a narcissistic person that did it. There's even Jeff Bezos, who did Amazon. And then there's Howard Schultz, who's the founder of Starbucks. And then there's even Travis Kalanick, hope I said his name right. He was the founder and CEO of Uber. And a lot of people enjoy Uber, they enjoy Lyft. So all these great men created things that millions of people love and depend upon. And did they have to do some things that were immoral, unethical, and cutthroat? I would believe so, because people like them want to win. And they are more driven by power and greed. So I'll give you a personal life experience of mine and why I refuse to support Starbucks coffee. And this is an example of intentional evil compared to unintentional, all right? So when Starbucks came to the Bay Area in California in 1992, it did like most companies. They targeted the local mom and pop coffee shop establishments. My mother's best friend ran a coffee shop that her parents owned. And it was part of their family generational history, and it was loved by many people within the community. At first, it was unsettling that Starbucks opened right across the street. This, to me, is intentional evil, okay? That's my opinion. Now, other people might say, well, that's, you know, the nature of the beast. And at the time, the way I looked at it is there were so many other locations they could have picked. But this was war, and they wanted to win. And eventually, my mom's friend could not compete with the pricing, advertising, special promotions, overhead expenses. Therefore, the beloved coffee shop she loved went out of business. This upset many people in the community, even me. Yet, life is full of changes. and we always have a choice. And I know where I live, there are 6 Starbucks within a 3-mile radius of my demographic, you know, alone. People love their coffee and I'm okay with it. I just choose not to support them financially. Another example can be bookstores. I used to love to go into bookstores, and now it's hard to find bookstores. It is. People are buying books for their tablet or their Kindle instead of paperback form. But then there are some people that love the paperback book. I'm one of those people. I will buy the paperback book. And there was a movie that was made in 1998 with Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. It was called You've Got Mail. And Meg Ryan, she was an independent bookstore owner. And Tom Hanks, he was the book superstore owner. And if you watch the movie, you could really see there is a genuine difference between independent and supersized stores. With an independent store, there is love and attention to detail. You care about your customers. You can add that personal touch. And you love what you're doing for a living. A supersized store can offer you lower prices and more stuff, but there is no love. Friendship. Sometimes they don't even care about their customers or even their employees. And it's not personal care, but it's impersonal needs met is kind of the way I look at it. And most of us, including myself, thought Costco came first, but it was not. In 1962, Walmart opened its doors and Costco opened in 1976. But there will always be, the point is I want to just make is there will always be competition and evolutionary change. And some of the changes can be positive and others extremely damaging. And that is why knowing more about people in general and in a position of political power is essential. A narcissist wants to win and needs to succeed. They are very good at influencing people into doing their dirty work, cutting corners, committing a crime if they can get away with it, and even lying on their behalf. So let's talk about the dark side of narcissism. Freud recognized that there is a dark side to narcissism, and Freud pointed out that a narcissist is emotionally isolated. Okay, and I always talk about disconnected. To me, emotionally isolated means you're disconnected. And he discovered that they're highly distrustful. Emotional isolation is a state of isolation where one may have a well-functioning social network, but feels emotionally separated from others. Being emotionally isolated is when your defense mechanism kicks in. And to protect yourself from emotional distress, you stop naturally communicating with people. You shut down. And when an emotionally isolated person doesn't communicate with people, they will keep the communication to a superficial level. Now, the narcissist might have a wide social circle of superficial friends, yet they show little interest in other people's feelings because they're disconnected, all right? And this emotional isolation is a coping skill to avoid intimate relationships altogether. Most importantly, the narcissist can keep their feelings entirely to themselves and will not be able to receive emotional support from others. The narcissist might even repress or suppress their own thoughts, feelings, opinions, and beliefs. They might feel as if they have shut down or feel numb because the world and people are not to be trusted. Being emotionally isolated creates self-centeredness and insensitivity. Being emotionally isolated is unhealthy because it prevents the person from having meaningful attachments in their life. And I have this really cool image on the blog post that says ego and nature. So on the image, ego is a person standing above, and then it's like a triangle. The one below the man is a woman, then it's a whale, then it's a pig. You know, it just breaks it all down. But when it's nature, it's a circle. Everyone is included. Everyone's part of the whole. All right, so let's break down emotional isolation because it will explain more about how a person becomes narcissistic. Emotional isolation is triggered by social isolation, infidelity, abuse, fear of abandonment or rejection, and other trust issues where emotional bonds have been broken. These broken bonds are all trauma related. So, social isolation. Example could be a child who moved to a new school where they were bullied. Infidelity, a spouse in a marriage where a previously intimate partner betrayed them. Abuse, a young child constantly being physically hurt by an older sibling. Another example of fear and rejection, a child who lacked having emotionally available parent figures growing up. It could happen where after a divorce, a family illness, a parent dies, or even a traumatic event. That can all create that fear of abandonment and rejection, so they just shut down. And then trust issues. An example of that could be a young child who was raped by a family member, a family friend, or someone within the community. Or they could even have a parent that's a pathological liar, and every time the parent promises something to the child, the parent does the exact opposite. So there's this layer of, I can't trust you. You just lie all the time. That can also create emotional isolation. So these five emotional isolation triggers can make a person narcissistic if not treated. That is why I say a survivor of trauma or psychological abuse can become temporarily narcissistic. The narcissist was either bullied, there was mental or emotional abuse, there was trust issues, or maybe even infidelity within the relationship. So when emotional isolation goes untreated and unresolved, it can create an unhealthy attachment style in how a person will react and perceive their world and others. And I thought this was perfect because I'm going to talk about triggers. So I had this on a blog post before. I'm using it again. People don't trigger you. They trigger your trigger. You are not your trigger. You are moved by your triggered reaction. Your trigger usually points to what you need to heal. You are responsible for your triggers and healing. I just love that. So, therefore, a narcissist's perceived threat can trigger anger and rage. Think of a spiral going down from their rational thinking cortex brain into their defensive life or death survival brain. The spiral downward happens because of how the person mentally processed an incident of trauma or series of trauma incidents in their past, in which they cannot confide or trust people to listen or support them mentally and emotionally. They stuffed it down, and anger is bubbling underneath. And that is why you can witness a narcissist go from 0 to 100 in a flash. Basically, the narcissist has unresolved issues, and they will project those unresolved issues upon anyone who emotionally triggered them. And they will act immature because the core trigger wound was created at a young age. Plus, you might discover that things can get terrible when the narcissist has split thinking. It's that thinking of either you're with me or you're against me. There is no middle ground with these types of people. Therefore, when a narcissist does experience an emotional achievement, it feeds feelings of grandiosity. They're just like over the top. Their ego just explodes. And Freud thought narcissists were the most complex personality types to analyze. And I agree. I did find an interesting article online about narcissistic leaders. There's a link in the blog post. And I liked this example. And the example was, consider how an executive at Oracle describes his narcissist CEO, Larry Ellison. The difference between God and Larry is that God doesn't believe he is Larry. That observation is amusing, but it's also troubling. And not surprisingly, most people think of narcissists primarily in a negative way because they're just They're so self-absorbed. So let's talk about a productive and unproductive narcissist. Leaders such as Jack Welch, the CEO of General Electric, and George Soros are examples of a productive narcissist. They both are gifted because they came up with some creative strategies, and they can see the big picture and find meaning in the complex and risky challenges of changing the world and leaving behind a legacy. During times of great transition, these people dare to push through the massive transformations that society periodically undertakes. And some people hate change and will go against it, even if it improves their quality of life. A productive narcissist are risk takers willing to get the job done while charming the masses with their persuasive speaking. The danger is that narcissism can turn unproductive when the narcissist lacks self-knowledge and restraining safety anchors to protect the whole project or goal. So whether there is a lack of self-knowledge or protection pitfalls, the narcissist becomes an unrealistic dreamer. The narcissist will nurture grand schemes of paranoia and unpredictability, and can harbor the illusion that only circumstances and their enemies are trying to block their success. So if you have seen the miniseries Super Pumped on Hulu and Showtime, you will notice these exact behaviors of an unproductive narcissist. Travis, he was brilliant, but he destroyed himself and his success with Uber. This tendency towards grandiosity and distrust is the Achilles heel for a narcissist. That is why he went under suspicion for his self-involvement to win consistently instead of doing the right thing for the company's greater good. We saw his unpredictability and how he treated people, especially those trying to help him and wanted to avoid future pitfalls. We also saw his paranoia and need to put someone in their place, you know, like he's above them. And he even did that with his investors, which was just like, dude, this is crazy. He was considered a unicorn and he needed much support in preventing self-destruction. Eventually, he did destroy his reputation, career, and interpersonal relationships. If you have not figured it out by now, I'm a person that likes neutrality. I want to look at both sides of the coin. There is no judgment, just information and clarification. For example, I know many people that refuse to shop on Amazon. When COVID hit, everyone's life went upside down. You were afraid to go grocery shopping. You were stuck at home. I mean, you had to get toilet paper. And ordering online, hey, it saved so many people. It even saved me. And there were items that I couldn't find in the local stores. It was all gone. And some of these items, you know, didn't even exist. It's like we had to, where do you get a face mask? It was crazy. Let's all admit, it was so crazy. But we went through it. And the world changed and we adapted to that change. We had no choice. And some people learned to appreciate Amazon instead of hating them. Now, here is my main point. We live in a sea of polarity and all of us will eventually meet someone who is narcissistic. I want you to learn to see and catch the polarity between the two styles, productive and unproductive. Why? Well, it can support you going forward in life. You might have a boss or friend that wants you to take part in their business opportunity. Does this narcissistic boss or friend seem to be productive or unproductive? Well, your investment in this person pay off? Or will they steal your money and file bankruptcy? Does their sweet-talking words have proof in their past actions? Or is there zero proof to show good faith? And do they appear to speak without thinking as if they are a dreamer? And do they make fake future promises? Or do they take the steps necessary to make those promises into a reality? So let's take the character, you know, Travis, who was the founder and CEO of Uber. Was he evil? My response is yes and no. He was brilliant and stupid at the same time. I mean, we can say that about Trump in some ways, okay? Not trying to be political here, but we can say that, you know. The problem with Travis is he could not accept defeat. And when he did win, he would smear it in the loser's face. And in my opinion, that is evil. Be happy with the win. Do not mentally, emotionally, or financially destroy anyone during the process. So some might call him a poor loser by his immature behaviors and actions, but what he did not realize is he was a winner. He didn't know how to celebrate the wins without publicly trying to destroy and slander the competition. And what I am referring to here is the founder of Lyft, John Zimmer. I highly recommend watching this series, Super Pumped. Many of the things that I talk about within the blog posts and podcast episodes are all addressed in this series, even a part on sexual harassment, HR, and trauma bonding. And this is another awesome quote because it goes perfect with what I was just saying. Sometimes people try to destroy you precisely because they recognize your power. Not because they don't see it, but because they see it and they don't want it to exist. So let's break this down even further. This weekend, I was working at an event and I noticed a couple walking in with their young child in a stroller. Immediately, I got the feeling that he was narcissistic. I saw her observing my table several times, but he wanted them to walk right past it. I mean, let's be honest, just the book title alone, The Undetected Narcissist, can trigger a narcissist. So she came over to my table when he was chatting with someone else. And I gotta tell you, the first word out of her mouth was, "I think my partner's a narcissist." And I smiled at her and I said, "Oh, I saw that a mile away. It's okay." And yes, we both laughed. And she asked me how I could tell. And I told her, "Well, he appears to be 15 to 20 years older than you. This means you lack life experience and can be easily manipulated and controlled. Then because he is older, he can offer financial security, which can leave you trapped in a trauma bonding relationship. Now, the real questions are, do you love him? Is he an asshole to you all the time? And are you willing to learn more about his triggers, traits, and behaviors?" Well, the good news is she did love him. And he was not an asshole to her all the time. And she was willing to educate herself because they have a child together. And in my opinion, this is positive. I would rather see and hear people try to create peace and harmony instead of war. Because you can love someone narcissistic, but not like them all the time, all right? And not all narcissistic men are evil. Therefore, I told her to get a journal and write down some past events when he got triggered. And I wanted her to see if there was a pattern, because there is a pattern. A pattern could be he stuffs down his anger from work, and then he dumps it onto her when he gets home. This would show a pattern of him struggling with emotional isolation at work, but shows a positive way that he feels safe with her to dump his frustration. So the problem is not her job to fix him or allow him to use her as a verbal punching bag. So she will have to learn how to communicate with him and how to set healthy boundaries. And maybe she can suggest to him, like, "Hey, go exercise or do something physical to release that built-up tension before coming home." It all boils down to clear and effective, heart-driven communication. So I feel the biggest problem we all face is we don't really know how to communicate with one another effectively, especially when things get uncomfortable and tension builds. We jump to conclusions instead of asking questions. We make snap judgments and assumptions instead of getting clarification and unpacking the issue at hand. We build walls of separation instead of breaking down the barriers within ourselves. And we stop looking each other in the eyes and we disconnect. All these things can be felt and seen without anyone verbalizing them. Today, this day, I still have narcissistic friends. I care about them, and I know they care about me. And they know what I talk about, and they know I do not spread hate, anger, or fear around the subject of narcissism. I understand them and how they were created. I talk about them coming from a place of compassion, reason, and kindness, and I like to unpack things to bring about a sense of clarity and wisdom. So yes, sometimes I don't like their behaviors, actions, and words. Yet I can step back, disengage, and view the whole situation without getting triggered or wounded. I can also speak my truth from a place of kindness instead of blame or resentment. And I can set healthy boundaries and find harmonious solutions for both parties. I want everyone to be able to do the same thing. That is why I love doing this for a living. So therefore, do you still think or feel that all narcissistic people are evil? You can, you know, that's all right. You might, and that's okay. We can't eliminate them from the planet, all right? We can't. We can only learn to coexist with one another with less trauma, pain, heartache, and anger. Everyone can have a different definition of what evil means to them. So I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Thank you for listening. And like always, have a fantastic day. And I'm pretty sure next week I'm going to be talking about avoidant attachment, because that attachment style nails it down to how a person can become narcissistic as well. So I wanted to teach you that because it really goes into how they have relationships with you, how they view the world, and it might make some sense to you and other people. So just give you a heads up. So thanks for listening, and I'll be back. Take care. Bye.